All right, open your Bibles tonight to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. Again, I want to tell you we had a great blessing at the men's retreat. Again, we had great food. Again, the weather was bad, just like it was the first time. It rained the entire time. It was crazy. In fact, the clearest day we had was the day we left. But you know, it was good fellowship and great preaching, and it was really a blessing. Next year, I want to encourage men that just put on your calendar and try to go if you're able to go. It's a good time to get back, just kind of slow down and rest a little bit and be preached to and have good fellowship and, of course, eat a lot and gain a lot of weight, too. That's pretty much what we did. All right, Joshua chapter 3, look if you would at verse 1. It says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure." By the way, it's about a half of a mile. "Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity to be here tonight, Lord, in your house. And Lord, tonight, just as we kind of slow down again, Lord, and just read your scriptures, and as we look at the word of God tonight, Lord, I just pray you'll speak to every heart in here, Lord, the message you would have them have tonight. Lord, we come here to hear from you, Lord, and to find out what you have for us. And Lord, I'm excited to think that our Creator, Lord, speaks to us as his children. And Lord, tonight we all want to hear from you. Lord, I pray that you'll just focus our minds on your word tonight, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here were the children of Israel, and they were right on the brink of, really, they were on the brink of blessing. They were right there on the side of the River Jordan, getting ready to pass over. And then, you know, they were going to pass over into a land of opportunity, a land of flowing with milk and honey. And between them and that land of opportunity, there was a raging river. So just imagine they're on this side, and where God wants them to be is over on this side, but you have this river between them. And so Joshua and his officers are now telling these people how to enter into the land that they had never been in before, and how to enjoy the land, and how to have victory. Now, there are some things I want you to notice, but really the main part of this passage tonight that I want you to see and think about is really the passage between chapter 3, verse 3, and verse 5. And it says, "And they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go, not before it, but after it." In other words, it is supposed to lead the way. The ark goes first by quite a distance, actually, and then everybody else was supposed to get behind it and then follow that ark. And that's really the key to the entire passage. Now, when we think about the Ark of the Covenant, we know that when we read about it in the Old Testament, we read about it being described in the New Testament, we understand it was a 2-foot by 2-foot by 4-foot box with a golden lid on top of it. That golden lid was called the mercy seat. And then also on that lid was 2 cherubim on each side, and in between those cherubim was the glory of God. Now, when you look at the Ark and you consider what the Ark was, now we know what was in it. I mean, you had the manna, and you had the blossoming staff of Aaron. You had those types of things, the Ten Commandments, the stone. We understand what was in it, but it's more important to understand what it was. You see, that it was basically God. God was among the people, and when we think about that, the ark was really a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the ark represents the presence of God with the people. And that's exactly who Jesus Christ is. In fact, if you think about it, the name Emmanuel means God with us. Okay, so when we think about the ark, in terms, even though we don't have the ark today, and you say, well, where is the ark today? Well, that's a whole different study. Really, I don't think anybody knows. I think there's a few clues in the Bible. But we don't have the ark with us today. We have something better. We have the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what we have. And Jesus Christ is God, and God is with us. Now, so we don't really have the ark with our thing, but we have the type that it represents. Now, the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned in this third chapter of Joshua 10 times. And the people were commanded to move only after the ark was to move. They were told, when the ark moves, keep your eye on the ark, and when it moves, go after it, because you've never passed this way before. These people had come right up to the river before, but they had never crossed over it. If you remember, they came up to the river once. They sent the 12 spies in, and of course, we know what happened then, and they ended up going back in the wilderness. But now they come up here, they're getting ready to cross over. They're getting ready to go into uncharted territory. And what they're saying, what these officers are saying, when you get ready to go in this uncharted territory, don't you lead the way. You let God lead the way. You get behind Him. Now, if you think about it, the children of Israel have been in the wilderness for 40 years, day after day, going around in circles. And now they're getting ready to make a dramatic change. Now they're ready to enter into the promised land. You say, well, why the change? Well, you say, well, it had to be the ark, because they had the ark. That's the reason of the change. No, if you think about it, they had the ark with them the entire time. The entire time they were in the wilderness, wandering around, they had the ark with them. And so that wasn't really what the important thing was. That wasn't really what the change was about. It wasn't about having the ark with them. What made the difference was where the ark was positioned. You see, now they're getting ready to cross over. Now they're getting ready to go into one place that God wanted them to be, really from the time He called Abraham, the land that God had promised them. Now the difference was the ark was going first, because they were going into this new place. And so they had the possession of the ark, and the ark had been in their midst, but they'd just been carrying the ark around. But now the ark is no longer just in the midst of them. The ark is out there in front of them. The ark is now their head. The ark is now their leading. And no longer are they just taking the ark with them. Now they are going to follow the ark. And have you ever noticed that when it comes to Christians, it seems like there are some Christians who have a little bit easier time of living the Christian life than other Christians. It seems like there are some Christians. Now, listen, we all have our problems. We all have our down days, our good days, and we all have our valleys and mountains. I'm not talking about that. And we all mess up from time to time. But there are some Christians, when you look at people and we look at the Christians that we know today, there are some Christians who just seem to always struggle in their Christian life. It seems like they fall easy to temptation. It just seems like they have a hard time getting on fire for the Lord. It's hard to get them to serve the Lord. But then you have other Christians who seem like, even though they have their problems, it seems like they just have a little bit easier time. It's just a little bit easier for them to avoid temptation, a little bit easier for them to step up and serve God, a little bit easier for them to go out and witness to people. You say, why is that? Well, may I remind you that if we're all Christians, we all have the Holy Spirit of God within us. Amen? So we all have God present within us. You say, well, then how come you have some with easier than others? Because not all Christians decide to let the Lord lead. They just don't. Not every Christian allows the Lord to lead. You see, the problem is there are a lot of Christians today that like to lead themselves. They like to lead and based on what they want and what their desires and what their thoughts are, and so they want to lead. But the truth of the matter is we are supposed to let the Lord lead, and so there are, because of that, a lot of Christians today are tripped up, while other Christians seem to have more of a victorious Christian life, and so. I want to encourage you tonight, let the Lord lead. Now, when the ark that they possessed became the leader, when the Lord became the leader of their life, they end up going into the promised land. And as Christians, whenever we let the Lord lead in our life, then we're going to get the victorious Christian life more as well. Now, I want you to look at verse 3. And again, it says, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest of Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. And that's what made the difference between 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and crossing over in the land of promise. Now I want to mention three things tonight that will happen if you will do what these people did so long ago, when they finally backed up and let the ark lead the way. In other words, rather than them and what they wanted to do, they let the ark lead the way. If we will let the Lord lead our lives, if we will keep our eyes on Him and let Him lead the way rather than us lead the way, there are some things that's going to happen. And one of the things that's going to happen is that God will guide you through uncharted places. He will guide you through uncharted places. I want you to notice in chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "Yet there shall be space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits of measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore." And what he's saying is this. He's saying that none of you have ever crossed the River Jordan into the Promised Land. This is a place that none of you have ever been here before. And would you agree that God knows more than we do? Would you agree that he knows everything? And to tell you the truth, on the scale of it all, we really don't know anything. Half the things that we think we know, we don't have all the facts. And when it comes to knowledge compared to God, we don't know anything compared to him. But God knows everything. And the one thing that God knows that we don't know is the future. Now, he's revealed to us some of the future that's going to happen. I mean, when you read the book of Revelation, we're told that there's going to be a time of the great tribulation. The last 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week is going to be a bad time. We're told that after that, there's going to be the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to rule and reign on this earth. And after that, the elements are going to melt, and then there'll be the great white throne of judgment. And then after that, there's a new heaven and a new earth. And so that's all future, all future. That's what God has revealed to us. But nobody in this room knows all of the future. Nobody in this room knows what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes, in the next 10 minutes, tomorrow, the day after, next month, the next year. None of us know that. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 15 seconds. And none of us has ever been this way before. If you think about this, the age we are today, right down to the very hour and minute, you've never lived that before. Yeah, I'm 55 years old, but I'm also 55 years old and about 11 months and, it's going to be about 10 months and about 29 days. But you know what? I've never lived this before. Every day's a brand new day. Amen? The air I breathe, it's all brand new. Never been this way before. Sunday night, September 27th, 2020. is an hour that none of us has ever lived before. In fact, I think September 27th should be made a national holiday because it only comes once a year. That's funny. You can laugh. Amen. Amen. We have never been this way before. Everything is new. And we don't know what tomorrow brings. And so we need someone to guide us. And the best thing about having the Lord to guide us, the best thing about having the Lord lead your way in life, is you don't have to wonder about a lot of things, folks. You see, when you just trust the Lord to lead the way, you don't have to know where we're going to be tomorrow. You don't have to know that. I mean, you don't have to sit there and say, well, boy, I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't even have to worry about tomorrow. You don't know where you're going to be tomorrow. If you think about the children of Israel in this passage, they did not have a clue how far the promised land that they would travel the next day when they got there. They didn't know that. They didn't know. Only thing they knew was they were just supposed to follow the ark. I mean, honestly, after they crossed the River Jordan, they could have went through Jericho. They could have went through Ai. They could have kept on marching. They didn't know. They just knew that they're supposed to follow the ark. That's all they knew. And if you think about it, that's kind of the case it was with other people in the Bible as well. For example, if you remember Abraham, he was called by God to leave the Ur of Chaldees. He didn't exactly know where he was going. God promised him that there was a land that he was going to give him. You know what Abraham did? He just followed the Lord. He said, okay, Lord, you said I'm going to leave Ur of Chaldees? Okay, I'll leave the Ur of Chaldees. And he did. That's what we're supposed to do. Abraham didn't know where he was going. He'd never been that way before. And you say, well, how come the Lord kept that from him? Because if Abraham did know where he was going, he probably would have put his eyes on that destination rather than the Lord himself. Have you ever considered that's why God sometimes keeps us in the dark about things? I mean, if you think about it, God could reveal the future. He could reveal the future. He can do anything he wants to. He could reveal the future in the next 15 minutes if he wanted to. But he keeps that information away from us. I'm going to tell you this. I'm kind of glad he does. How many of you, I don't want to go to ask a poll here, but I will say this. There are a lot of people that say, you know what, I'd like to know what's going to happen in the future. Not me. I'd just rather trust the Lord on it. Why? Because if I know what's going to happen in my future, you know what I'll be focused on? Me. Not him. I'll be focused on the things that I want, the things that what my desires are. So God hides that stuff from us. He doesn't want us to know those things. And I'm telling you this, I'm glad that I don't know the future. I mean, what if you knew the demands that were going to be placed on you in the future? What if you knew the sorrows that would come? What if you knew the challenges that you're going to face? Do you realize that'd probably be too much for you to bear? It'd be too much. It's good we don't know the future. What if you knew that you were going to go through some sort of heartache or tragedy within the next 6 months? You can enjoy the time that you have, anticipating what's going to happen in the future. You see, God keeps the future from us, and it's not always good to know the future. We're not supposed to know all the future. We've not passed this way before. We're just supposed to keep our eyes on the ark and follow the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. So we don't have to know where we're going. I'll tell you another thing we don't have to know is we don't have to know when we're going to go either. I mean, we just leave that to the Lord. When we see the ark move, we just simply follow without any questions. Did you know when it comes to God that timing is more important than time itself? How many of you understand that God's timing is always perfect? Always perfect. But you know, when it comes to us, our timing isn't so good. How many times you ever did something good but at the wrong time? Yeah, see, we've all done that. But you know, God doesn't make that mistake. God never makes that mistake. His timing is always perfect. You may already know what God's will is for you, but maybe the Lord hasn't led you to do it yet. I'll tell you this, when I was first called to preach, I knew I was called to preach 4 years before the Lord ever had a place for me to pastor. Why? My time is not His time. His time is perfect, not my time. And listen, I knew what the Lord wanted me to do, but the ark hadn't moved yet. What are we supposed to do? Watch the ark, and when it moves, you move. When it leads, you follow. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what He was telling the children of Israel. And may I encourage you tonight just to wait and wait upon the Lord, and one day you'll see the ark move. And when it does, go after it. The Lord will lead you at the right time to do His will that He wants you to do at His time. But you'll also notice in Scripture that not everybody learned that truth, and some of them had to learn that truth the hard way. Do you remember Moses? And Moses, God told Moses to deliver the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, from the land of bondage. Hey, that was a good thing. That's what he was supposed to do. But Moses got ahead of God and didn't wait on the Lord. Remember how he killed that Egyptian and tried to bury him in the sand? And afterwards, Moses spent 40 years on the backside of the desert because he got ahead of God. But when God got ready to move out the children of Israel, he moved out 2.5 million Jews out of Egypt, and he did it in 24 hours, just like that. God's timing's perfect. I think about Abraham. Remember God told Abraham, he says, I'm going to give you a son of promise, and through him all the nations of the world will be blessed. That was a great promise. That was the will of God for Abraham. Now listen, Abraham didn't know when it was going to happen. But God said it's going to happen. I'm going to give you a son. But you know what Abraham did? Rather than let it be God's timing, he decided to go before the ark. Go before the ark moved. And then we know that he came unto Hagar, and she had a son, Ishmael, and the world's been paying for it ever since. Why? Because Abraham didn't wait on God. He decided he was going to help God and hurry up God, so he made the mistake. And you know what? If I had a nickel for every time that I've made that same mistake, to where I knew what the will of the Lord was, but I wasn't willing to wait upon Him. I went out there and tried to do it myself, and every time it happened, I fell on my face and things didn't go very well. We don't have to know where He's taking us in this life. We don't have to know when He wants us to go. We also don't need to know why God does what He does. We don't have to know that. Notice in our text, it never says that God told these people the exact route that they would take across the river. It just says when the ark moves, follow it. It didn't say, now listen, when the ark goes, it's going to go 20 yards downstream and it's going to cut across these rocks. No, it didn't say that. It just says, listen, when it moves, you get up and let it get so far out and then you start following. You don't need to know why. You don't need to know where it's going, when it's going to get there. You just follow. That's what he was saying. And God never told him why he was doing it, why he was taking them across there. He never told them where they would stop on the other side. He never told them that when they got where they would be at their final destination. And he didn't tell them why they had to follow him or why they were going the way they were going. They were just supposed to wait on the ark. You say, why didn't God explain himself to them? Why doesn't God always explain himself to us? Well, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You don't have to know when. You don't have to know where. You don't have to know why. I mean, listen, either you trust God or you don't. And God says, follow me. We're supposed to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, without any questions asked? Yes, without any questions asked. You know, how many of you, when you have your kids, when you're driving on some, vacation, they'll say, are we there yet? When are we going to get there? Why are we going this way? You know, sometimes Christians do the same thing with God. We're sitting there asking all these questions because we feel like God has to give us an answer. God doesn't have to give us an answer. You know what God wants from his children? Obedience. Obedience. You know, I'm not one of those parents who always say, now I say it sometimes because otherwise my children just flat out tell you, liar, liar. But I'm not one of those parents that always say, because I said so. I'm not. But you know what? The Lord can say, just because I said so, and that's just fine. Why? His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. The Lord does not have to give us an answer on anything. But what are we to do? Just simply obey him and follow him. You say, why? Because we've never been this way before. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're not to be the leaders. God is to be the leader. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But you know what most of us do when we mess up? We run out and do things thinking that we know more than God and then ask God to bless our plans. What Christians do a lot is what they'll do is they'll come up and they'll say, listen, I want to serve the Lord this way. And they choose how they're going to serve the Lord. And they're leading rather than waiting for God to lead. And then when they start a project for the Lord, they start doing something for the Lord, then they say, Lord, bless this work I'm doing for you. That's wrong, folks. We're not supposed to get ahead of God. God's supposed to lead us where we're going to go, and then we follow him. Listen, it's not okay for you to come up and just come up with a way to serve the Lord and then expect the Lord to endorse it and bless it. No, wait a second. You've got to allow God to lead the way and show you exactly what he wants to do, and then the Lord will bless that. That's the way it's supposed to work. But we mess up so many times and do it the wrong time. We mess up so many times because we decide to lead rather than letting the Lord lead. But if we'll keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will guide us through unknown places. Not only will he guide us to unknown places, but he'll also grant you everlasting promises. Back in our opening text, notice verse 3. It says, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. You know what a covenant is? It's a promise. That's what it is in the Bible. It's a promise. And so God's promise to Israel was that they were going to enter into the land of promise, the land flowing with milk and honey. And if they would just follow the ark, then God would grant them that promise. Now I'll show you another promise that the Lord made here in this text. Look down if you would at verse 7. It says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. What God was saying to Joshua was, Joshua, the promises didn't die with Moses. I told Moses that I would be with him, and I'm telling you that I'll be with you too. And may I remind you that that promise did not stop with Joshua. Because just as the Lord was with Joshua, he was with the children of Israel. And just as God was with the children of Israel, he's with us today. He's with you and me. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, he said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Don't ever think that somehow God's blessed these people and God promised these people certain things, but God won't keep his covenant with you. Hold your place here and turn, if you would, over to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. God is always faithful in keeping his promise. God's always, and God has promised us that he will be with us, that he will, he will protect us, that he will lead us, the same way he did with Joshua, the same way he did with the children of Israel. In Psalm 119, 89, I want you to look in Psalm 119, look at verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Now, that is a verse right there that everybody needs to take to heart. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." You might as well just quit arguing about it. It's settled in heaven. What it says, it says. Verse 90. "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thy ordinances, for all are thy servants." What's he saying? He's just saying the promises that are settled in heaven are to all generations, right down to this present time. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." You know what that's saying? That's saying that when God makes a promise, he keeps those promises. And as Christians, God has given us a lot of promises, and he keeps every single one of them. And those promises are good for all the saints. Those promises are good for all seasons. Those promises are good for all situations. And if you want God's promises to be real to you, just keep your eyes on the ark, on Jesus Christ. And you can rest assured he's going to grant you those everlasting promises, because the ark is the ark of the covenant. It's a promise. Now I want to say a third thing that's going to happen to you if you'll follow the ark wherever it goes. If you'll let Jesus Christ do the leading rather than us doing the leading, not only will he guide you in uncharted places, places you've never been before. By the way, how many of you understand that the Lord's going to be right there with you at death too? Yeah, you know what he's going to do? He's going to lead you in uncharted places there too. Not only will he guide you in uncharted places, not only is he going to grant you everlasting promises, but I'll tell you what else he does, and boy, this excites me a lot. And that is, he'll guard you with his power, if you'll follow him. Now listen, folks. If you follow him, he'll guard you with his power, but if you decide to lead in front of him, he'll let you do it. But you won't have his power when you're up there, and you won't have his protection when you're up there. We're supposed to let him lead. And if you let him lead, he'll guard you with his power. Now think about what's happening here. Joshua and the people of Israel are on the wrong side of the Jordan. They're getting ready to cross over. They know on the other side of the Jordan, they got the promised land that God wants them to go. They're preparing the cross. He says this in verse 3, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests of Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it." Now, I will tell you this, folks. Now, if you read the rest of this chapter, you'll find out that the Jordan River was in a flood stage at this time, when they were getting ready to cross over. Now, can you imagine when these officers walk around and said, now listen, they're all looking at the river, by the way. This river's flowing. Imagine the Missouri River during flood stage, only worse, okay? And so this river's flowing, and it'd be pretty scary to cross that river anyway. But the river is high, it's out of its banks, it's flowing. And they said this, when that ark is ready to move, you let it go out there, and then you follow it. And it's going to take you into a place you've never been before. It's going to take you into the promised land. And these people, don't you know those people, they probably were looking at the promised land, but I'll bet you they were probably more focused on that river flowing right there. And so they're sitting there thinking, boy, this is going to be pretty scary. But now I want you to look what happens. Look at verse 11. "Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap." Now I'm going to tell you, when I try to think about that, that blows my mind, because think about this. Let's say the river is flowing, and it's flowing from over there, and it's flowing this way, and so they're getting ready to cross. And what the Lord says is, the second that those priests' feet hit that water carrying that ark, that the power of God is going to stop that water, and that water is going to be in a heap. Now, if considering how fast that water is moving because it's in flood stage, for 2.5 million people to cross there, it's going to take more than a couple of minutes. Amen? I mean, 2.5 million people crossing there, it's going to take a while. Can you imagine how high that water got? if it just kept on getting heap higher and higher. I mean, because it's going to keep on flowing. And it ain't flowing this way, so it's got to go up. I bet that thing is probably high as a 20-story building. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine seeing that? We think about him parting the Red Sea, and certainly that's a great miracle, but hey, this is pretty big too. Can you, I mean, the power of God, and what he's doing is this, he's not going to even let them even get wet. The power of God says, listen, I'm going to take out any obstacle that's going to keep you from getting where I want you to be. Anything I need to do to keep to get you where I want you to be, I'm willing to do it through my power, even taking that water and stopping it where it just heaps up as high as it gets. His power even did that for the children of Israel. Why? Because God was leading them to where he wanted them to be. He was leading them there. And all they had to do was follow. The Lord was taking care of it all. He said, listen, you've been out here in the wilderness, but now if you'll let me lead, I'll take you to places that you wouldn't imagine. This land flowing with milk and honey. Places that you've never been there before. I will take you to those places, and you'll get blessed when you get in those places, and I'll be with you during this time. You'll be my people. I'll be your God. And you know what? That water there, don't worry about that water. It may be an obstacle to somebody else. It may be obstacle to your enemies. It may even be an obstacle to those people who choose to not let God follow. Can you imagine if some of those people didn't listen to that warning and said, wait for the ark? No way, man. I'm going to show you how to get across this river. I'm going to do it myself in my time. What do you think would happen if they got in that river? It'll wash them right downstream. But if they followed the Lord took care of that river. You see, the way they got in there was by following God. That's the only way. What did they do? They did exactly what they were told to do. They followed the ark. Now, this river, it was flowing. God's power stopped that river. And because of that, they were able to get into the promised land. I'll tell you this, folks. If we keep our eyes on the ark, if we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we let him lead in our lives, he will guide us into uncharted places. He'll guide us in places in this life that we've never been before. I will tell you this, being a Christian, you've heard me say it before, I'll say it again, being a Christian is the greatest adventure that there is on this earth. And when you follow the Lord will lead you to places that you couldn't imagine. You will end up doing things that you couldn't imagine. I look back, and just since I've been in ministry, not even since I've been a Christian, but just since I've been in the ministry, I think about the things that I've been able to do that if I wasn't following the Lord, I'd never be able to do those things. I mean, I remember going out with people when it was 110 degrees in heat. And I remember us taking frozen water bottles and putting it in the back of our shirt so we could go out there, it'd keep us cool while we're door knocking. I remember going out in snowstorms, door knocking. I remember I told you about the one time it started to rain and we had to drive back of the van and I had to take the squeegee and use it as a windshield wiper as we're going out driving down the road. Those times were just wonderful. But I've been able to see the Lord move in so many different ways. I've seen people get saved. I've seen people get right. I've seen children, young people get saved. I've been able to go to camps and see these things. And God has led me through uncharted places that I never dreamed I've ever been for. And I have been blessed only when I followed the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I didn't follow the Lord and I went myself, there weren't many blessings there. But boy, when you follow the Lord, he'll lead you in places that you couldn't even imagine. And not only that, but he's going to take care of the obstacles that'll get you there. Don't you understand that if the Lord wants you to do something, if it's God's will for you to do something, what we do is we sit and worry about, what about this and what about that? Don't you understand that God will take care of all that? He takes care of all that. You think about this. These missionaries, I wonder, you know, when the Lord first called them to go in the mission field, I wonder if they were thinking, boy, I'm going to take my family over there. I'm going to take my family to this place. How am I going to get my visa? How am I going to go? You know, have you ever noticed that the Lord always takes care of that? And he always gets them where they want to be? God always takes care of those obstacles. God's not going to call you to do something and then let you figure out how to take care of the obstacles. No, he takes care of the obstacles for you. The same way he stopped that water from flowing there. The Lord paved the way. The only way we can mess this thing up at all is for us to lead the way ourselves. That's the only way we can mess it up. If we will just let the Lord go and then we follow him, folks, he takes care of everything. Do you want me to tell you who got them into the land of promise? God did. He's the only one. And the only way you're ever going to get to where God wants you to be is you've got to follow the Lord too. The Lord will take you through uncharted territory. The Lord is, if you keep your eyes on Him, not only that, but the Lord will make sure that with His power, He'll get you right where you need to be. The Lord knows what's coming our way. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't have to ask where He's going to lead you. You don't have to know when He's going to lead you. And you don't know why he does what He does. You just have to follow Him and trust Him. He's the one leading your life. You're not supposed to be the one leading your own. So I'm going to ask you tonight, are you following Him? Or are you following your own desires and ambitions? Are you waiting upon Him and waiting for Him to move before you move? Or are you trying to do what you think is the Lord's will in your own time? I'll tell you this, folks, if you really want to know how Christians mess up and how men of God have been messed up for a long time, it always comes down to not waiting upon the Lord. It always comes down to not trusting that the Lord is worthy to follow. And the Lord is, I tell you this, I really wished sometimes that the Lord would just not even allow us to lead. I do. Because that's when we really get in trouble. But you know one thing I've noticed about the Lord? If you want to lead, the Lord will say, okay, go ahead. And then you know what happens? We don't fare very well. And then we fall back in the ranks and we let the Lord lead for a while. And then all of a sudden, later on, we decide we know more than the Lord and we'll start to lead again. It's not the way it's supposed to be, folks. We've all got the Lord Jesus Christ within us. But we must let Him be our head, our leader, and follow Him and wait on Him to move. And when He moves, we move. Are you doing that tonight? Are you following Him? Is He the leader of your life, or are you the leader of your life? Let's stand.